Blog Talk Radio.
First, I'm going to throw it back to you, okay? Go ahead on it, and let's get into the chat room. Here we go.
All right.
Well, praise God, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We're going to be doing something different tonight. Our assistant pastor, Steve Lee, no one's ever heard of him, but those who are in the livedeliverance.com know him. And those who are listening to his broadcast every Monday night at 9 o'clock, We're going to turn things over to our other assistant, Pastor Brother Michael Smith, and going to tell you what's going on. We're going to be in the chat room. You can come to us live in our chat room on our YouTube segment. I'll be in there with Brother Mike. You can open up and talk to us, correspond, ask questions about any particular topic, or even with the sermon that the Pastor Steve Lee is going to bring to you tonight. Let's turn it over to Brother Apostle Michael Smith.
Amen, everyone. Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in to us here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. As always, it is a pleasure to be here with you. I am Brother Mike, your host this evening. Tonight, we have the pleasure of having Pastor Steve Lee here with us. He's been with the ministry for, I believe, a little over 10 years, but I think longer than that, actually. But we're going to give him space and time. He's going to actually give his background, and he's going to tell us a little bit about himself before he gets started with tonight's teaching. But before we do that, we would like to thank some sponsors. The sponsors for tonight's teaching, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend Fletcher, and Reverend K.T. Kieselton. Now, we also have Brother John, Pastor John Durden. He's going to give a couple of shout-outs. And then after that, we're going to turn the mic over to Pastor Steve Lee, and he's going to introduce himself, give his background, and go forward with the teaching.
Brother Mike, we got Brother John Durden for shout-outs.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear
Brother
me?
John, can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Good evening,
yes,
everyone.
Brother,
I want to give a...
Brother Mike, you're going to go in the chat room, right?
Yeah, I'm looking right now at it.
Okay, I'm sorry, Brother John. Go ahead.
No problem. I want to give a few shout-outs to a couple of fellow brethren of mine. That's Pastor Bolden, Pastor Jackson, Pastor Turnipseed, Pastor Dobson, Pastor Carmichael, and Pastor Dipson. I know you're going to enjoy the session tonight. God bless you. And it's nice to know that I got some fellow brothers in the Lord who love the Lord just as much as I do. God bless you. And be blessed, sir. Amen.
Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it is my honor to join you. And since this is a new thing, I will go ahead and just say a couple of things about my calling and ministry. I am an ordained minister. Been ordained since, I got papers from 2 or 3 institutions. But God called me to the ministry in 1981, and I joined the Fellowship of Faith Church in 1984. And my senior pastor is Pastor Wayne C. Thompson of Fellowship of Faith Church International. And that's where I really got serious about the things of God. And I was in that ministry for 28 years. And then the Lord connected me with Apostle Overton. And one of the things that Pastor Wayne did is he came and installed me as a pastor, assistant pastor here at Fellowship of Deliverance and livedeliverance.com, so that, you know, Brother Emmett and I can go ahead and dig in together. My thrust would be in teaching and that the prophetic word, because people are looking for answers. And I am of the belief that the answers are already deposited on the inside of you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you. And so these are the things that I believe and I release as truths. Titles are something that I really don't try to put any weight behind, because I'm not going to lead with my title. I'm rather going to lead with love, because Jesus told us that they will know that you are my disciples because you have love one for the other, not because you have titles. And I can understand giving reverence to whom reverence is due. I got that. But I'm going to live my life so that I can hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I'm not looking to hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful prophet, thy good and faithful apostle." He said that he wants me to be a servant, and that's basically how I come. I'm going to, most of the times, just in my teaching, because the way it was communicated to me is that truth stands by itself. So I don't need to prop it up with theory. I don't need to prop it up with my own intellect. I'm not that guy. If you want to go with all the homiletical things that would cause you to have a titillating experience, I'm probably not that guy. I'm going to give you truth that will transform. If you will accept the word of God that was delivered to your spirit, then that word will work for you every day of your life. So, you know, I just wanted to put everybody's heart and minds at ease that I'm not a, first of all, I'm not a fly-by-night preacher, because, like I say, I've been doing this since 1981. The seasoning of the grace of God is what I look for. I try to release that into your lives so that after the time that we have to share together is over, then you can still, by the Spirit of the living God, rehearse the things. Because the job description, if you would, of the Holy Spirit is to bring back to your remembrance what Jesus said. And since I'm only going to speak basically out of the King James Version, not because I'm stubborn and hard-headed, but because the King James Version has stood the test of time, therefore I will use it because it will always be there. I didn't say it was the only thing that we can go to. The Word of God is infallible, and that was written on the tables of our heart. So we just have to go to that and rely on the Spirit of God to do that. So that's just a little bit about me. Now I'm on the ministry team at Kingdom Dominion Church in Villarica, Georgia. And, you know, like I say, God is just doing what he does. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. And so I don't want to go through my whole discourse of life here and have no reward because I was doing it unto myself, by myself, in my own pride and in my own might. That's who I am. That's how I stand. And that's why I do what I do. So if you would, let's just go ahead and join our hearts in a word of prayer, and we'll get started with the word for today. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place by your spirit because of your word and your love. Live big in me. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now decrease, as I share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Beloved, today I want to speak about the word we hear. And the topic it would be, yes, I heard that. And there's a couple of things I've been dealing with this week, preparing for a week-long kind of ministry that I'll be going to next week. And if we don't allow the word to rest in our heart, then it doesn't produce in our life what God said the word should produce. The word yes is a word of affirmation. And if we have a word that we agree with, then it should produce something. The power of agreement is one of the most effective forces on the face of the earth. Agreement sets our compass, our time frames, and our expectations. I'm going to come back to that again. You can write that one down. Your agreement sets your compass, your directions, your path. It sets your time frames, and it sets your expectation. We can agree on multiple levels. We can agree in theory. We can agree in principle. We can agree in part. But God is wanting us to be fully persuaded, not partially committed. You know, a lot of times people are what I would call fans of Jesus, but they're not followers of Jesus. See, when you are a fan, you spectate. You're just looking. You're gazing upon the Lord, if you would, to see if he's going to do this or that. And if you're just gazing, then you're not causing your heart to be in the position where God can bless it. God is not interested in blessing a gazer. He's interested and committed to blessing a doer of the word. That's what the book of James tells us. Okay, so I'm trying to encourage you to let your yes become active. Because if I have a yes in my heart, if I have a yes in my thinking, and I don't do anything with it, I'm going to lose the impetus of the yes that was given to me. God's not looking for people that are partially committed. I believe that mental assent and heartfelt agreement are two different things. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 23 says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Mental assent says things like that sounds like a good idea. A mental ascension might even produce a good feeling. But without heartfelt conviction, we end up in a static position. We talk about things, but we don't get things done. We don't move things. Heartfelt agreement or conviction moves us to action. I'll say that again. Heartfelt agreement or conviction moves us to action. As a man thinks in his heart, that's what he does. So is he. That's where you'll find the man. See, if I'm just having a mental assent, then I can be one that partially agrees. I will be partially committed. I will say things like, I hope so. Jesus is asking us to allow our belief to speak. Glory to God. You do remember the woman that had the issue of blood? And she said to herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And then she put that belief into action, even though she was jeopardizing her life to do that. Because if she had an issue of blood, she was not supposed to be in the public. She was not supposed to be where people would be able to touch her or she touched people. But she had a belief that caused action in her life. And the Bible says that she came in the press behind. That's good. In other words, it wasn't an easy thing that she did. She was completely committed to this. And as we study that in Mark chapter 4, you can see that she had already spent all of her money on doctors, and the Bible says she hadn't even gotten any better. Because the reason why, wow, so that's good. One of the reasons why is because doctors, they refer to themselves as practicing physicians. Jesus is not a practicing physician. He's called the great physician. He's the one that gets it done. See, the doctors didn't really believe that they had answers. They just hoped they could diagnose the thing correctly and give her some modicum of relief. But when she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Come on, Jesus, all these people here." And Jesus made a reference to a demand on the spirit. This is what a person that has heartfelt convictions is open to. They can make a demand on the Spirit. Jesus said, no, somebody touched me because I perceived virtue came out of me. See, when you have a heartfelt agreement, heartfelt belief, it connects in the spirit. If I just have a mental assent, I will get lost in the sauce. I'll get lost in the crowd. There were, come on, just walk with me in this picture. There were a ton of people. They said the multitude, that's a ton of people, beloved. And they said the multitude is reaching after you. The multitude is thronging after you. And you ask a question, who touched me? And Jesus said, no, 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 no. This was real. This was a live touch. Mental ascension is not a lie. In the book of James, again, it says that they did not mix, that's in Greek Hebrews, they did not mix their faith, what they heard, with faith. See, their faith was dead, being alone. That's what it said in James. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. So Jesus said, no, this was not mental assent. This was something that was alive. Glory to God. Because the hope was alive on the inside of her, it connected to a hope that was alive in Jesus. And because of that connection, because of that demand, there was an exchange. That's why the title was, Yes, I Heard That. So if I heard something, there should be an exchange. Because the word sent to me was a deposit. And God says, my word will not return to me void. It will not leave your heart and connect with me and not bring the result your heart was requiring. Now, if you hold the heart, if you hold the word in your head, then, beloved, I don't know, you just gonna be one that is intellectually acute, but you don't have any power because your faith is not alive. It is not released from the position where answers can be given directly to you. And do you see this? Look at this again. She came in the press behind. And through all of whatever it took for her to get past people, around people, to pick herself up after being knocked down by people, because that faith was alive, because that hope was alive, the connection was made in the spirit realm. I just want you to see this, because if you don't hear that in your spirit, if there is not a leaping, if you would, that's what happens when our spirit comes in contact with the living God. There is a leaping. You remember when John the Baptist was introduced to his cousin that was in the womb, just at the mention of names. He said, the baby left in my womb. There is a live, active motion that happens when faith and hope is released from a heart. I just want you to kind of connect that. Because if you don't, then what we're going to do is we're going to continue to exist and we won't have victory. We'll keep going through things instead of overcoming. Okay? I'm giving you from the Word of God what it would take for you to win everything. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The connection is made in God, spirit to spirit. Heartfelt agreement is akin or just like inspiration. In spirit breathe, inspiration. Okay? It's the spirit. See, come on, y'all. It's the spirit that gives life. That's what Jesus said. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. See? Your mind is aware of things, but your heart should be fully engaged. Okay? In Proverbs chapter 4, and you can turn there. Proverbs chapter 4, again, just to bring things to you. This is what God has been trying to get us to do from the very beginning. Okay, we'll just go back to the very beginning when I said that. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. So everything that was made by the word. Is that not what it says in John chapter 1? It says there was nothing made that was not made by him or by the word. So if the word started your existence, the word is what it's going to take to maintain your existence. The words should be spoken out of a heart that is fully persuaded, not out of a mind that likes the sound of it. See, again, mental assent might say that sounds like a good idea, but yet there has not been a heart connection to that. I know in my life, I grew up under a certain denomination because of my grandmama was, my mom and daddy was, so then my tendencies were going to be to follow in the same footsteps of the people that I understood. And I'm not mad at my grandmama. I'm not mad at my mama. I'm not mad at my dad. But the Bible tells me that if I'm going to have faith in God, I have to have it unto myself. Have it for yourself. Okay? I can't get to heaven on my grandmama's prayers. I know sometimes you want to. But no, I have to do it one-on-one. Okay? I can't get there because of what they wanted me to do. I have to walk in the steps. I have to engage. Because if I don't engage, then I'm just a hearer of the word. I'm not a doer. And the doer is the one that gets promised to be blessed. The hearer is just going to know about it. See? I decided a long time ago, I'm not going to be a fan of Jesus. I'm going to be a follower. Those were the instructions that Paul left us. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He did not say, hang out with me. Okay, he didn't even tell me to stand with him as he followed Christ. He said for me to engage. Okay, as I engage, as I move, what happens is I become one that applies the word in a different manner every time. And I grow thereby. Proverbs chapter 4. Starting at verse, for study purposes, starting at verse 20. Very familiar passage of scripture says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I see here that God was speaking to those of us that he called sons. He didn't say my friends. He did not the people that have suffered because of, he said, I'm talking to my son. Those that have an intimate relationship, and the intimacy is because they want to hear fresh revelation. You know, he told the children of Israel as they were growing, going through the wilderness, he told them, and this is our type of what he's saying to us, he says, I don't want you to live life off of yesterday's manna. I don't want you to do that. I want you to get fresh manna every day. And then when the Sabbath comes, then I will make the word or the supply, the feeding, the bread that I want to give you, I will make that a word that will sustain you for 2 days. But after that, it's going to begin to wane in power and strength. It's going to even become something that will smell to you. I just want you to get the concept that he laid out right there. But he said that if you want to try to live off of your mama's faith, your grandmama's faith, it's going to begin to stink to you. Or it's going to be able to be ineffective someone, one that is flesh every day. That's why God comes to us, and the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, 21 and following, it says that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. See, he doesn't even want you to live on old mercies. He wants you to exist off of, wow, thank you, sir. He wants you to exist off of that which is new and fresh. Why? Because that way the devil cannot attack and beat you up because of yesterday's whatever. Because he's going to have new mercies for you. And if you would partake of the new mercies, then you won't have to deal with, that's why Paul told us, to forget the things that are in the past and to reach forward. See? Again, follow me as I follow Christ. Allow intimacy to work in your life. My son, attend unto my words. I mean, really pay attention. Become one that handles the word. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 1, that the disciples came to the place where they saw, they heard, and they handled the word of life. So if that's not what's happening with you, then you're going to miss sonship. Because he's talking to sons, and he says, sons, attend to my word. Look at it. Speak it. Handle it. That's the word of life. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You know, it's an interesting thing about agreement. If I agree with everybody else, just because everybody else has done it, because my mama did it this way, my grandmama did it this way, so I'm going to do it that way. No, he didn't tell you to do that. He said, incline your ear to my sayings, attend to my words. Let them not depart from your eyes. Okay, just so that we get it, if we can just look at what we're living, dealing with. My mother has gone on to be with the Lord. My father has gone on to be with the Lord. I cannot use their sight to get to my destination. I have to use my sight because their sight is already in completion. Mine is not. So I can't use their sight to get to my destination. They use their sight to get to their destination. And God's asking me to use my sight. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Okay. I'm just trying to get us to see that if I hear what he says and agrees with what he says, it will then bless my life. It already has blessed the lives that have gone on to be with the Lord. They did. They run their race. They finished their course. Henceforth, there is laid up for them the crown of righteousness. I need to walk mine out. See? And notice he says, if I keep them in the midst of my heart, they would be life to those that find them. Wait a minute. Hold on. He said, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, because they are life to them that find them. So then there is a process, if you would, that the word that I see and the word that I live out has to be a process of time. I can't just see it and walk in it tomorrow. I'm going to see it and then cause it to be important and impactful for me. I'm going to have to let it be the thing that guides me. Those that find it, they would find health to all their flesh. I love that scripture. I remember I was having some problems in my family. And so I was frustrated at this family member and that family member. And I said, I don't even know what to do. I don't know what to pray, God, because they don't want to hear me. They don't want to do what the word says. And God brought me right back to this scripture. And he says, your problem, Stevie, is you haven't found the word. You haven't kept the word in the midst of your heart. I was letting the offense be in the midst of my heart. I don't see anywhere in this scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. I don't see anywhere in there where spaces are supposed to be fitting in. Attend to my words, incline your ears to my saying. Let my words and my sayings not depart from your eyes. Keep my words and my saying in the midst of your heart. But I put offense in the midst of my heart. And I was bringing the offense to God. I mean, this is just crazy, though. We bring the offense to God in our prayer time. God, make them stop doing. That has nothing to do with my prayer time. My prayer time should be about the word that he told me, not about the offense that they did. See, we crowd out. We crowd our heart with other things. And the Bible, Jesus said that when you have other things, the cares of this world, persecution, affliction, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, when they enter into your heart, they choke the word and make the word of none effect. He just told us here what to keep in the midst of our hearts. Keep the word. Attend unto his words, unto his sayings. Keep your eyes on that. Because if I keep my eyes on that and I keep it in the midst of my heart, they will be health to all my flesh. And when God showed me that all of my flesh, because everybody in my family is part of my flesh, they came out of my flesh. So that if I want my daughter to be healed, if I want my daughter to do what God says do, if I want her to be taught of the Lord, I'm going to have to put the word there concerning my daughter. Because he said, if I be saved, my whole household shall be saved. It's kind of too late for them. They don't have a choice because I am saved. And the word that I keep my eyes on is that if I be saved, my whole house shall be saved. Now, do I necessarily get to see that tomorrow? Don't have to. The promise, the word of God says it lives in my soul. So that I don't have to see it tomorrow. I have it alive in my heart today. It's guaranteed to come to pass. See? He said, if I would keep it there. Come on. I want you to get this. Attend to my words and calm your ears to my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to those that find them. When you find something that is precious, beloved, you want to put it in a safe and secure place. Is that correct? Okay? So I put it in a place that's safe and secure, two reasons. One, to protect it. Second, so that it can be inventory, so that when I need to utilize it, I can go to the place that is inventory and I can then appropriate the promise. Okay? So if the word is not important to me, if it's not impactful in my life, then I will not hide it in a place that is protected. That's why he told me to keep the word in the midst of my heart, in the center. In a place where it is protected from all of the attacks of the enemy. Okay? David said in Psalms 119, I hope to get to some references there. In Psalms 119, he said, your word has been hidden in my heart, and that's what keeps me from sinning against you. See, if the word is not hidden, if it's not inventory, if it's not precious and protected, then I can't help but to sin. And sin, I give you a better definition, is not the wrong thing that we do. It is, the first definition is to be without a portion, to not have what you should have. If I don't have what I should have, then it's inevitable that I'm going to do the wrong thing. I can't help but to sin because I don't have the portion of righteousness that I need. I don't have the portion of faith that I need. I don't have the portion of love that I need so that I'm going to react in the flesh. But if I would hide the word in there, it would keep me from allowing flesh to work. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I will not miss my portion. Okay? They are life to those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of a kept heart. Okay? He did not say out of the heart, period. He told you first, he done told you was it four times? To keep. Attend to my words and calm my ears to your saying. Let them not depart. That's keep. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. That's twice. They are like to those that find that it after thy flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, because out of a kept heart are the issues of life. Okay, I'll do that this way. Out of a heart that is kept are the issues of life God wants you to have. If you don't keep your heart with all diligence, then you're going to have the issues that the enemy has set up for you. It's your choice, beloved. He's asking you to engage. See, if you agree, agreement has motion every time, all the time, for the good or for the bad. If you don't believe the word, you agree with the enemy that has blocked the word or the understanding of the word from you. And so since you agree with that, you're going to function out of that which you agree with. Out of that heart flows the issues of life. So then I would submit to you, if you want to change the things that are happening in your life, then protect your heart with all diligence. Please understand, he did not say protect it one day. He did not say protect it one week. He said protect your heart with all diligence. All diligence to me, the way I understand it, would mean 24/7, 365. Because if at any time during that 365 I'm not diligently protecting my heart, then the issues that come out of my heart are not going to be the ones God intended for me. Because if I protect, come on, let's connect it to verse 20. My son, let the ears of my words, incline thine ears to my saying, let them not depart out from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, but they are light to those that find them and help to all thy flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. For if you do that, the issues that I sent to you in my word, the issues that I want you to keep your ears upon, the issues that I want you to be looking at, the issues that I have placed in your heart, that's the way they come. You remember in Psalms, is it 37:4, I believe it is? It says, delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Why should I delight in him? Because if I delight in the Lord, he will give me the desires of my heart. Or he will be able to release out of that heart that is diligently kept, he will be able to release the issues of my life. Oh, good God. Please get that picture. Please, please, please. God has placed victory in your heart. Victory for every situation. That includes your family, your finances, your friends. That includes every area of your life. He has placed those issues in there. By his word, by his spirit, he has breathed the life into your spirit by his word. And he says, now, from that word, protect it. Live by that word. Okay? That's the invitation that's in front of you in Proverbs chapter 4. See, and when we do that, then we can enjoy the grace of God. We no longer have to frustrate the grace of God. Then he gives you some other issues that you have to execute, to put away from you a forward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Because it's an interesting thing. Notice what he just connected. He connected the failures in your life to your mouth. So he says, now, I need for you to keep my word and exchange my word for the wrong things that have been coming out of your mouth. Because the reason that they're coming out of your mouth is they are in your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth moves, it speaks. God's not mad because it's in there. He used that so that you would have a gauge that the problems in your life come out of what you agree with and release power through your words. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Okay? So, I mean, you have the ability to affect change, but it requires diligence through the process of agreement. And let me just give you some information. The little leaven, Jesus said, leavens the whole lump. So he's asking you to affect the lump by the little righteousness that you release on a day-by-day basis. See, Jesus knew we was messed up. The Bible said he saw us in our blood, dying in our blood, and he spoke to us in that condition of dying in our blood, surrounded by life but not living life. Oh, that was good, sir. That was good, because life is in the blood. So we are surrounded by life but not living life because we don't understand the power of our words. We speak death and expect life. That's crazy. We have to begin to, little by little, let righteousness enter in. And then as it enters in and is settled in my heart, then I begin to speak from a different position. See, I'm not speaking begging anymore. I'm speaking out of, oh, Lord, Jesus, it's all good, out of righteousness. Because remember what it says, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh from this side. Don't say who's going to go and get Jesus and bring him from the dead, or who's going to go to heaven and bring him down. But what does it say? It is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Just flip over there. Wow, look at that. Romans chapter 10. See, we get to live the word, beloved. We get to participate in it. Starting at verse 6, chapter 10, verse 6. I mean, just these are foundational stones that we've got to get. If you say you agree with it, then you should have corresponding actions. Okay? He asks in verse 6. He says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. So please know there's going to be conversations going on. If I'm going to say I'm living by faith, then I've got to have the proper conversation. It speaketh on this wise. It does not say, say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Don't say in your heart, who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what does it say? It says that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And that is the word of faith which we preach. That is Proverbs chapter 4 in manifestation. That's the working of Proverbs chapter 4. Work the word in so the word can work out what's necessary in your life. That's the word of faith which we preach. That if you would say, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between Jew and Greek. But the same Lord is overall rich unto him, all that call upon him. He's rich unto whom? All that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they not believe? And how shall they believe in him who they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Or how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. But they have not all, please, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who have believed our report? So then, because of all of this dissertation that you just heard, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you hear his word that you are diligently attending to, listening to, placing in a prominent place in your heart so that you will not give way to sin. So then faith comes by hearing. Each time you do that, faith goes deeper, wider. Revelations come further into your place of understanding so that you can function in them. Hear a little, bear a little. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. See? God does not expect you to just get saved, and walk holy tomorrow. He expects you to get saved. And then because you are committed to this, because you agree with this, you study day by day. You walk it out day by day, hour by hour. You allow your mind to be renewed. You allow transformation to take place. You stop reaching for hurt and pride and arrogancy, and you start reaching for humility, love, and grace. You start finding out that mercy is what's necessary in your life, in the life of the people that frustrate you. Jesus said, if you're going to have conversations about the people that's getting on your nerves, he said, pray for them. Oh, there's a rich word for you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. He did not give you license to talk to your neighbor about the people that's getting on your nerves.
Pastor Steve?
Yes, sir.
Our contract with YouTube will be up in 5 minutes. After we turn off, you can continue. We need 5 minutes to close it out, and you can continue in the blog, in the YouTube.
Yeah, no problem.
We want to thank those who've been listening to us tonight and our YouTube segment.
Amen.
That's Pastor Steve Lee from Live Deliverance Internet Radio. You can listen to him every night, every Monday night, area code 646-378-1857. I need my assistant pastor to do an exorcism live that we're going to be dealing with out of Finland. We want to thank you for participating with this marketing research here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. And we're going to ask you to continue on now to continue to listen to Pastor Steve Lee at area code 646-378-1857. He's in the room now. He's there every Monday. God bless here. Don't forget December 1st, we're going to have our telethon. And this is our first time putting up Pastor Steve Lee on our YouTube segment so we can check our marketing ratings with this brother and his word that he's bringing. Again, God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow evening. Shalom.
Amen.
Okay, Steve, you can continue to go on in the tech check room, but I got one problem. I need my assistant for a live deliverance in about 10 minutes.
Okay, that's no problem. I'll be wrapped up in 10 minutes.
Okay.
So, beloved, as you can see, you just go back and look at Proverbs chapter 4 and begin to find out where you are. Because if you heard that, if you agree with that, then you should align yourself in the position of yes. First of all, yes is a confession of agreement. It is an assertion of agreement. So you can't say yes and then don't do it. Okay? That negates the yes. So if I heard it, if I read it, if God has revealed this unto me, then I'm supposed to move in the direction that my agreement has been made. If I don't do that, then I'm making the word of God of none effect. And it causes me to be double-minded. And if I'm double-minded, I cannot receive anything of the Lord. Since I can't receive anything of the Lord, that only leads me to try to work it out. The faith that is of righteousness says Jesus is already working in my life. He's already brought me to salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, it's already there. So then when I do that, faith comes, and faith comes again. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. And all hearing should be done by the word of God. It should not come by hearing and then asking someone else, do they agree? That is mental assent, and mental assent will leave you stagnant. Beloved, I'm asking you to search your heart, to find out if the things that the word says has a place in your heart, not a warm, fuzzy spot, but a place that you would protect, that you will not let the enemy enter in through persecution, affliction, the cares of this world, the lust of other things, and the deceitfulness of riches. Because if he gets in with any of those five, he's going to choke the word and it will become unfruitful. It's the same exact word, but to you, it's not impactful or important. To you, it's just something that someone said that was nice in your life and you tried to apply it. Nowhere again does it say the trier of the word is blessed. It's the doer that's blessed. So today, allow the word of God to have free course so that your life will then be released as it was intended by God. Because God's thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace, not of evil. Thoughts that would give you an expected end. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you. We just bless you for sending a word that was fresh, the same way you want our relationship to be with you, fresh. Father, we thank you that your word removes frustrations, fears, and it removes clouding thoughts so that we can have clarity of vision and purpose, thereby execute whatever is necessary to bring you glory and honor. We give you praise for that. We give you thanksgiving for that. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Wonderful job, Pastor Steve. Wonderful job. That was a good word tonight. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, folks. Let's go ahead and see if we have time for some commentary for those of you who are listening in. We have to keep it brief as I have to join Pastor Emmett and deliver it. So let's go ahead and open up some lines and get some commentary. Area code 470.
Amen. Welcome. Amen. Area code 470. Again, thank you for listening. And may the Lord bless you is our prayer.
Amen. All right. Area code 312.
Amen.
Hello.
Hello.
I just want to say hello.
Yeah,
hello? Yes, I won't take but a minute. I just want to say how much I got out of the message today. And, again, I just love it when you teach. Okay, the one thing I wanted to say, because you touched on the lady that had the issue, and I just wanted to say that she had to have been depressed out of measure.
Mm-hmm.
She had to have been, because she had spent all of her money on people that she had hoped would heal her, and they couldn't.
Yes.
And she had spent so much time. But I just want to say that we have to believe that Jesus will heal us, and we have to seek him. We have to seek him. And the only other thing I want to say is, when we say the verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, we say that now like it's a, it should have a comma after it, and it doesn't. It's now faith.
Now
it's
faith.
Present
correct. Good.
Faith.
Very good.
It's
correct.
Now faith. Okay,
yes.
And that's all I wanted to say, and thank you again. Okay, bye-bye.
Yes. Amen, love you, thank you. The woman with the issue of blood had now faith. She didn't say now, as she was exacerbated by now faith. No. She was saying it's active. And notice, she didn't have to get to the heights of Jesus. That was the lowest point of contact. That was the hem of his. That was with that which was hanging on the ground, if you would. Or let's do it this way: that which was already in contact with earth. Okay, because you are earth, brothers and sisters. You were made out of the dust of the earth. Okay, so that which is in contact with earth, she got to that place. And now, faith is what she walked away with. Now, faith. Glory to God. All right, Brother Mike. That's a good stuff.
Amen. All right. Area code 845.
Amen, amen, brothers. God bless you, brothers,
amen.
All in here. Brother Steve, as always, it is just a pleasure, brother. It's just a wonderful word that you brought today, brother. The Holy Spirit is always speaking, and God's word is most definitely living. It is alive, and it is just the more I listen, and you know, the more I read, brother, I'm just I learn so much, and I just want to say thank you, and brother, God's word is the more I read it, it's like the word of God, you know, I forget that it's pretty much just like reading me because yeah, you know what I mean, because it says that the word of God is. Mm-hmm. Is it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces into the soul and spirit, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So I know that the God's word is just reading me. So I just kind of have to sometimes sit back and just admire that and just kind of take it all in, because this is not just any book. It's not just some kind of novel you know, and it really does mold us, and it just helps us to grow, and it really takes away, you know, it helps us to die to that old man, and it's a process every day. So I'm just, you know, learning, and I'm just taking it day by day, and I'm not trying to rush Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, As the word of God is quick and powerful, and it reads us. Please notice this, that he sent the word so that he would let you know he's reading you. He's not mad at you. He sent the word so that you can see he's reading you. He understands you. You know, he's not condemning. He's using the word that he sent to just open so that you can know. Well, God knows that. He's reading me. And I can see he's reading me from what I just read.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you, brother.
Oh, yeah,
thank
brother.
You.
It's like a scanning. It's like a scanning, brother.
Yeah.
It's like a spiritual scanning. Amen, brother.
See, I said he's the great physician. And most physicians take x-rays and tests so that they can go right to the heart of the problem. But the word
Amen.
Of God is that x-ray machine that he's reading you so that he can allow healing to be executed in your life. Oh, that's just good. That's a whole
Amen,
other preaching right there.
Oh, man. That's good, brother.
Amen. Thanks for being here. Thanks for calling. Amen.
God bless you guys.
All right. Thank you. Be blessed.
Shalom. Shalom,
Amen.
Brother.
Amen. Shalom. Glory to God.
Amen. All right, folks. Do apologize. I do have to actually go right now. So we're going to go ahead and end the broadcast now. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here, please sow a seed here at the ministry. You can go do so at www.livedeliverance.com and press the donate button, and there you will be able to sow a seed. Thank you once again, Pastor Steve. And hopefully, if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com.
Amen. Shalom.
Shalom, brother.